At World Pork Expo, we're talking with Don Butler, who is the immediate past president of the National Pork Producers Council. Don, you've been talking a lot here at World Pork Expo about trade issues, and one of the things that we've talked about is free trade agreements and the fact that those things just seem to be dead in the water right now.
Well, they are languishing in Washington, where they have been for the past 3 years. Free trade agreements with South Korea, Colombia, and Panama have been fully negotiated between those three countries and the United States. And Congress has not chosen to move them forward. We are hopeful that they will do that at some point, and we believe all three of those agreements will eventually be ratified, but probably not before this November election cycle. Politics plays into it, of course, but those three free trade agreements are enormously important to the U.S. pork industry. When they are fully ratified and implemented, those three agreements together, we believe, would result in about $12 per head additional value to every pig that's marketed in the United States, and that's huge.
And Korea being the big part of that, right?
Korea certainly is, of the three, it is the one that would pay the biggest dividends to U.S. pork producers, yes.
Is this, of course, we know labor has a big influence in this administration. So is this a labor versus agriculture thing?
Well, we know that certain labor interests have been opposed to the ratification of these free trade agreements, but we argue and we believe that we can prove that enactment of these free trade agreements are job creators in the United States. The Korea free trade agreement alone, we project, when it's fully implemented, will create at least an additional 9,000 pork-related jobs in the United States. So, at a time when the United States really needs to be looking for job creation opportunities, there's three of them sitting on the shelf in Washington right now. And I urge the Congress and the administration to put the foot on the throttle and get these trade agreements passed now.
We've had good news with China and Russia in recent months. Are we on a smooth road again with those countries?
Well, we are encouraged. The China market is back open after a year of being closed for reasons that we felt like had no real scientifically valid rationale, claims and concerns about H1N1. Well, the rest of the world has acknowledged the fact that H1N1 could not be contracted through the using or consuming pork products, and that U.S. pork is safe. So China has eventually acquiesced and agreed that with the rest of the world that is the case. So China is a huge opportunity for the U.S. pork industry. It's the largest market in the world. Pork is the meat of choice in China, and there's 1.3 billion people there. Right now, they are pretty close to self-sufficiency in pork production, but the situation on the ground in China is changing. Backyard producers who raise two or three pigs a year for family consumption, a lot of those people are leaving that lifestyle, moving into the more urban areas where they have jobs, opportunities for drawing a salary for the first time in their life and being paid a decent wage. So there's a big transition going on in China, and we believe long-term that will open opportunities for us to replace some of that production that's being lost in China.
As I understand it, there are still some issues with China as far as ractopamine?
There will always be issues with China. Right now, ractopamine is one that they are unwilling to accept products with ractopamine. And we are pushing on them to look at a scientifically risk-based evaluation of that question, and to adhere to international standards. Those international standards for ractopamine are still under negotiation. But to my knowledge, there is no scientific evidence that shows that ractopamine is a risk to human health in any way.